It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm J-Dog, and joining me is a true renaissance man, in addition to being an entrepreneur, as well as an author, and an advocate for wellness and education, a humanitarian, as well as a baseball awards presenter. He is Eddie Papowski's number one fan, and also a swell dresser, and also a fantastic dancer. He is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, and the host of Northeast Delta Dental. He is Mr. Tom Raphael, the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.
Jay, thank you for that stirring introduction. And I think the dancing component is going to be relevant for today's guest entertainment. And before we bring on the famous Paul Brogan, author, teacher, volunteer, famous person who knows so many people, you think that your favorite manager, Tito Francona, is going to retire from the Guardians at the end of this year?
I do not think that's going to happen. I think that was just pure speculation that was kind of propped up by the Cleveland media. And it's one of those, will he or won't he? I think he's going to stick around for at least one to two more seasons to see if he can ride this kind of youth wave of the Guardians. So I don't think at the moment, I don't think they're going to get to the postseason. I think next year is where they're going to really look in at the pitching, and also some of the hitting will really develop, because I'm liking what I'm seeing in the minors, Tom, with the Lake County Captains, their one of their affiliates, as well as the Akron Rubber Ducks, like Juan Brito. He was in the Nolan Jones trade from Colorado, and I'm looking forward to kind of seeing what the kids can do. But this year, I'm not calling it a total loss. I think they're going to fight close to the end, but I just don't think they have enough to get to Minnesota in the American League Central Division.
So you might be right, because I know he wants to move up onto the career win list. Plus, it's probably the least robust division in baseball to make the playoffs. So
certain American League East teams could be in that division and be in first place. That's kind of how weak the AL Central is this year.
But you and I could have a whole separate show. But instead, we're going to bring on Paul Brogan. Paul, thank you for joining me today. What a pleasure to have you. I know you were a close personal friend of Doris Day. Shall I sing Que Sera Sera?
Absolutely. Please do.
I loved Doris Day singing that. And of course, Carol Channing as well. So let's start with, I know, of course, Ken's told me all about you. And I know from reading and everything, all the things you've done, but I think it's take your time and give our listening audience a background on yourself and how you sort of arrived at today's moniker that you have, which is that you are author, teacher, and volunteer. So how did you arrive at that? And but take your time and give us background on yourself.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Concord, which was a great place to grow up in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I started working at the Concord Theater when I was 14 in 1967 and stayed there until it closed in 94. Concord had a way of instilling in people something very unique, I think. And my parents certainly were active in the community. My mom is going to be 100 in December. She's in the upcoming Community Players production of The Sound of Music.
Really? Wow. That's terrific.
You grow up where people are involved locally, and you look for ways at some point in your life that maybe you can carry that on or test the waters and find out, now, what is it that makes them enjoy doing this? And maybe I should give it a try. And I couldn't see when I turned 65, retirement age and Medicare and all of that, just sitting back and saying, okay, is that all there is, to quote Peggy Lee's song? But I decided instead I need to look around for things that would, you know, help other people or bring inspiration maybe to others, or give me a chance to use my brain and keep it going. And so the Ollie programs at now at UNH, they were at Granite State College, were a great outlet to teach classes about different things. My Doris Day class called More Than Freckles. People love that. And then I did a class on growing up Catholic that went well with a friend of mine, Peg Fargo. And that was fun. And then putting on events, because I had done that when I worked for nonprofits. I had put on the events that brought people like Carol Channing and Greg Louganis and Patty Page, who lived in New Hampshire, to, you know, different productions. So I said, well, I don't want to stop doing that. It's, you know, it's fun. It's hard work. But the end result, when you watch hundreds of people in an audience smiling or laughing or crying, you know, it pays off.
That's terrific. And I liked your line about, is that all there is? I kind of use that, but I attribute it to Ethel Barrymore. Is that all there is? There isn't any more. That's all there is. There isn't any more. But so that is interesting. So I have that same approach, which is in New Hampshire, there's so much you can do. You know, one of the things I like to say is I pay attention to what's going on in D.C. as well as what's going on in Concord. But just so I don't sound stupid, but what can I do with my corporate resources and my personal energy to, you know, kind of make things happen? And as you know, as you just described, I mean, Concord in New Hampshire in general, but specifically the Concord area, really definitely, you know, gives you that opportunity. Another thing we have in common is, so I've just published my fourth book.
Uh-huh.
And I'm on the fourth book was a fun book called Stories from the Starting Line, and it was based on sort of the concept that Mike Morin, who I know you know,
oh yes,
about bowling. He wrote a story about candlepin bowling in New England, and New England is the only place that really has candlepin bowling robustly. So he wrote about all these stories of candlepin bowling, and while I bowled, actually prefer running, so I said, well, I'll use that kind of concept. And we ended up interviewing my co-authors and I ended up interviewing like 61 runners and sort of weaved a story not dissimilar to Mike. So you have just completed, I think, maybe your third book.
The third book was A Sprinkling of Stardust Over the Outhouse. And I have a signed copy to get to you sometime.
So which of the three books was your favorite, if you have a favorite?
The Concord Theater, the second one. Barry Steelman did the foreword for it. He owns Cinema 93, so he could identify with this woman who for 61 years ran an independent first-run movie theater on Main Street, fighting the chains, fighting Joe Kennedy, who owned Maine, New Hampshire theaters, which were the Capitol Theater in Concord and the Star Theater, stood up to him. Never said no. And she had an amazing spirit. 61 years. When she had cancer, she had her chemo in the morning at 6 a.m. so she could be in the box office at 6 p.m. So it was wonderful to share her story because I had been a part of it for the last 27 years the theater was open. So I think that's my favorite because it's telling a history about our community.
Absolutely. And there's no better person than you to tell that history. What do you think is, and I have my opinion, but I'll wait on it. What's the hardest part about writing, in your opinion? A book specifically.
The hardest part is stepping outside of yourself at times to be able to say, okay, this is crap, Paul. You really can do better than this. Not thinking, oh, every word I write is something the world is eagerly awaiting, and how dare anyone find fault with it. So being able to step outside of it, look at it the next day and say, no, this is not good. This is not working. I have to trash this and start this part over. So it's being able to see yourself as something, not just who you are or who you think you are, but as your readers are going to see you, and making it interesting.
That is very insightful, because I always tell people you need people that help you, you know, review manuscripts, that will be your friend, but tell it like it is.
Yes.
And if something isn't well written, if it's, you know, whether it be grammatically awkward or whether just simply boring, you need someone to tell you that. The other part that I have found publishing a book, you go into it, and I'm sure you did with the theater history, so excited, and you have all these great stories. But the last 10%, when you're doing the final fact checking, and if you've quoted people, you go back and make sure, and they come back to you and say, "Oh no, I didn't really say that," you know. So all that mm-hmm. last 10%, even in a fun book, like the last book I did on running was fun. The one before was on basically written during COVID, during crisis management. It was kind of stressful, but even a fun book, you have to do your due diligence to make it as perfect as possible, because even with perfection in mind, generally speaking, someone finds one or two things. So I don't know. I found that last 10% to be the hardest part about the book.
It can be. It can be. And you don't want to just be going through the motions when you're in that last part thinking, okay, there's the finish line. I'm almost there. Let me just sort of dash this and pull it all together and wrap it up. And that's it. And that you can sort of feel, if you've been arduously working on it, you can sort of feel that, okay, it's almost over. Now I just want to hurry through that. And you do a disservice not only to yourself, but to your readers, because they'll pick up on, oh, gee, it seems hurried.
Exactly. And some people, you know, whether it's the last section of the book or if you're rewriting the first page, I mean, that's what they're seeing. And if you rush through that, it'll definitely come through. You can tell, Jay, that Paul and I could chat for hours, but we can't.
Well, you can, but we got to take a break first. Paul Brogan is the guest this week, author and as well as educator and Concord historian. I'm going to put that in a description title as well here on this week's edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're going to break and then we're going to come back. We'll have Paul and Tom talk about not just only books, but also the history of Concord and also pretty much not just the history of Concord, but charity and just helping people in general, because there's a big event coming up that Paul's going to talk about that and a whole lot more here on the Pulse of New Hampshire. It's the Pulse of New Hampshire. I'm Jay Dog, alongside President and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental, the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio, Tom Raffio. This week's guest is Paul Brogan, lifelong Concord resident, an author, as well as an educator, and also, as I said before the break, in the first stanza, I love that word, by the way, the first stanza, a historian, a Concord historian, and we're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. I'll let you both, as Tom likes to say, talk for hours, but we'll talk for the next several minutes about several topics.
Thanks, Jay. And so back to Paul. So we talked about the hardest part of writing a book. What's the most pleasurable or easiest part about writing?
For me, it's realizing it's going to happen. The first thing I do is create the cover. And I mount it over the computer, and it may not be what the final cover is, but looking at it every time I sit down at the computer, this draft of the cover makes me realize it's real. I'm really doing this again. I'm starting this journey, and it sort of is there to give me a kick in the, if I need it, if I'm having one of those days where the thoughts just aren't coalescing.
Interesting. I like the early energy where you're excited and you're interviewing people maybe you haven't met. Like I got to, there's a lot of local icon runners, but I also got to interview people like Joan Benoit Samuelson, famous marathoner, Joseph Gray, who's the world champion. Actually, he was in Vermont not too long ago, helping me with the race to the top of Vermont. So I find that so invigorating. And again, though, when you get to that last 10%, the euphoria turns into agony, mm-hmm. but that's why you have to be really disciplined. So you mentioned Ollie, which is the OSHA Lifelong Learning Institute, and we actually have featured this on the show. So tell us, so you've been around, you've been doing that over 11 years, and I know when we put Ollie on the radio program and featured it, people didn't even realize what it was. So how did you find out about it. And now you've been teaching for 11 years. And tell us about that experience.
Mom was taking some of their classes, some of their Shakespeare classes. And she said, you know, you have a lot of different interests. Why don't you do a proposal for a class? And I said, oh, no, that's not going to work. Well, it did. And the response was great. I mean, I've now done 64 classes for them at all of their locations and had approximately 1,450 attendees, some of the same people that come back. But that it worked out. And Tori is a wonderful person for motivating me into, come on, you have to do another proposal. We have those people in Manchester. I'm doing a Katharine Hepburn this fall down in Manchester, and there's already 30 plus people who have enrolled in it. So seeing them discover things through my stories or my selections of films to show is really wonderful, because I grew up at a time I couldn't play sports, because back then, if you had asthma, you were told to stay in still. There were no inhalers. So Harvey Smith, in fact, was the first person that convinced me I needed to get out there and run. And I took his advice, and we remained lifelong friends. But doing these classes is wonderful, because you really connect with people, and it makes a big difference in their lives, because they're all, or a great many of them, are retired. And so these classes become a little oasis for them.
And of course, you referenced Tori Berube, who's a
yes. friend
of mine, who, as mentioned, we've had on the show. And I'm sure she has stimulated a lot of your thoughts on classes. Now, if you have one on Audrey Hepburn, you know.
Uh-huh.
I might go to that one.
Well, I don't do a good imitation of Audrey Hepburn, and I do a wonderful Katharine Hepburn.
There you go. And of course, you. Do you teach Shakespeare too, you were saying?
No, I don't do the Shakespeare classes. I usually do it on movie genres, or, you know, that type of thing, Weepers, or, you know, different types of things. I did a Cary Grant class because everybody kept saying, come on, do Cary Grant. And so I said, okay. And that turned out I had to do a part two for that one. But wow. they have particular things that they are very fond of. And so I've stuck with that, but I may expand some of the offerings next year.
And I'd like to talk about some of these folks, you know, like Carol Channing and, you know, Rock Hudson, et cetera. But I want to make sure we get to the Concord Theater now, the Bank of New Hampshire stage. You have a 90th anniversary celebration coming up.
Yes, Wednesday, October 18th, which is the day of the week and date to the day that the theater opened in 1933 on October 18th. And it's free. Margaret Porter and Laura Canoy and I have put this together as a gift to the community. We're showing the second most popular film that played there. 14,000 people plus came to see Moonstruck. When Concord had a population of 30,000.
Wow.
And
almost half the people showed up, right?
It's true.
Well.
Except for the woman that came back 50 times. So that, you know. But it's going to be fun. I mean, it's free. So there's no reason for people who haven't been inside the Bank of New Hampshire stage not to come. And just to see Moonstruck with hundreds of other people, have that audience impact and the reaction, which you don't get when you watch it on television or something like that.
So Ken wanted to make sure I asked, will any of the Moonstruck cast be there for the event?
I am in the midst of working on that. It is virtually impossible to get people to agree completely without financial incentive, which I am providing to get into the discussion. So the hope is that there will be at least one and possibly two people from Moonstruck who will be there that evening to be interviewed by Laura Canoy.
So give us the date again, and how does the public get tickets?
Wednesday, October 18th, 7 p.m. Tickets are available through the CCANH.com website, the tickets for Bank of New Hampshire Stage in the Capitol Center, or during box office hours, Monday through Friday, 12 to 6, stop at the box office located at the Bank of New Hampshire Stage, because you do need a ticket, but there's no cost for the ticket, no handling fees, nothing. It's all free, and it's a, I think it'll be a wonderful celebration.
Now, you can't get 14,000 people in there, so what's the goal?
We'd be happy to have, I think 350 is the maximum. So just come and have a great time and listen to the stories. Steve Dupree's coming. He's going to talk with Laura about why saving the building had value to him. And there'll be some other surprise guests, too. So great. It'll be a nice evening.
It's October 18th. Now, along the way, you've had so many encounters and interrelationships with stars, ranging from Katharine Hepburn to Carol Channing.
Very good.
All right, not bad. And
not bad.
Fedora. So sometimes when you get to know some stars, and I've had that luxury as well, not to your level, of course, some of them are really down to earth, and some aren't. So did anything strike you when you brought some of these celebrities back to Concord for fundraising or for other events? What did you learn from them? Were they down to earth? And does one stand out to you?
Carol Channing, because I brought her for an AIDS benefit. And she said to me, now are all the clients going to be able to come? And I said that some of them couldn't because they were very sick and unable to. So she said, well, let's go to their home and bring them a little bit of the show. And so we went to a number of clients' homes. She knocked on the door. They answered. She said, hi, I'm Carol, as though they wouldn't have known. And she said, she went inside, she sat down with them, she held their hand, and she sang, hello, Dolly, we're here, or Diamonds Are a Girl's Best Friend, or something else. And she felt it was important that they knew that she was in town and that she was here to raise money to provide them with food pantry or whatever it took. She stayed up at the Centennial Inn here in Concord. She went to the State House. She was 87 at the time. And I said, well, let's take the elevator up to see, the governor. And she said, why? What's wrong with the stairs? It keeps my butt firm. So we went up the stairs to his office and just totally down to earth. There was no pretense. She flew economy. She insisted on flying economy. None of that first class stuff. So it was most of these people just real down to earth, caring, and not at all what you might think they could be.
And we'll have to stop there and save it for another show, because I'm also told some of these stars also tend to be on the shy type, and so when they're acting, they're in a whole different persona. Jay, wasn't this fabulous? And again, we got to make sure we promote the October 18th of the Concord Theater or Bank of New Hampshire Stage event, 90th anniversary. It's not true that Paul has lived all those 90 years, but his mother has.
Right? That's correct.
And then some.
And then some. That's right. It was a bakery at one time. I remember.
Yes.
Seeing, that's where it started, as a bakery. But yes, Paul Brogan, the guest this week on Northeast Delta Dental Radio. We're going to wrap up this edition. Fear not. We'll be back with another edition, and we'll definitely get Paul in the future for sure. Lots to discuss. We've only scratched the surface for what Paul Brogan has been talking about. And Tom Raffio is the president and CEO of Northeast Delta Dental and the host of Northeast Delta Dental Radio. For Tom, as well as Paul Brogan, I'm J-Dog. We'll be back next time here on the Pulse of New Hampshire with another edition of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.